President Trump, according to the New York Times, has decided to remove Anthony Scaramucci as his communications director. And this is apparently at the request of John Kelly, his new chief of staff, who began today after the president made the announcement on Friday that Reince Priebus was leaving and John Kelly was going to take over. Although we should point out that it's not that Anthony Scaramucci is out completely at the White House. He has been removed from this particular position as communications director.
The Summer Olympics are coming back to Los Angeles. City and Olympic officials confirming Monday that the City of Angels will host the 2028 Summer Olympics, paving the way for Paris to host the 2024 Games. L.A. initially was trying to get the 2024 Games, but ultimately ceded to the French capital, which last hosted in 1924. Paris received a boost this summer from newly elected President Emmanuel Macron, who said the city's bid represented a defense against threats to the Games' values of openness, tolerance, and respect.
There are going to be three new iPhones. We've reported this, as have others. There's going to be an upgrade to the two current phones we have. So we will then also see tentatively named the iPhone 8. Some people are calling it the iPhone X because it's the 10-year anniversary of the first iPhone. And this is the one which is likely to be delayed. It's going to have a different screen technology called OLED, and there's a constraint on that supply chain. They do not have enough OLED as yet, our sources tell us, to bring out all the phones they need on launch date.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's August 1st, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for our first Opening Bell episode of August, another business day. July seemed to go by really fast, didn't it? But here we are. It's August, and it's all downhill from here, I suppose. What are you going to be doing in 10 years, huh? How about the Olympics? Go USA, Los Angeles, 2028. 10 years seems like a long way off, but it's a lot of planning time. Nice to have the Olympics back in the United States. That'll be fun. Los Angeles certainly put on a show the last time they had the Olympics, so that'll be nice. Lots going on the show this morning. A little bit later in the program, what are your chances of VC funding if you have an all-male board versus, let's say, maybe having one female on the board? There's a new report out about this, and it's a little concerning. We'll be talking with the Forbes writer who's been researching this and reporting it. That's coming up later in the program. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian stock markets advanced today as investors prepared to assess a fresh round of corporate earnings reports and data releases on the global economy, starting with the upbeat Chinese factory numbers that showed some expansion last month. That's followed later by second quarter GDP figures for the Eurozone and U.S. manufacturing and personal income numbers. As a matter of fact, those GDP numbers show that the Eurozone grew by a robust rate, annual quarterly rate, I should say, of just about 0.6% in the second quarter, an annual rate of 2.1%. Major U.S. benchmarks had a mixed finish yesterday. The Standard & Poor's 500 fell 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrials average continued to build on its record high. The NASDAQ Composite also lost about 0.4%. The dollar slipped against the yen and gained against the euro. Oil's rally continued. Benchmark U.S. Crude oil rose to remain above $50 a barrel. This morning, futures are pointing toward a strong open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 110 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. NASDAQ futures up about 27 points. In Europe this morning, markets are all higher. The FTSE's up about almost 0.7%. The DAX is up 0.5%. So is the CAC. In Asia, rounding out the numbers, the Hang Seng is up 216. The Shanghai up about 19 points. Again, crude oil is at $50.27 a barrel. That's up about 10 cents this morning. A couple of stories that we're watching for you. The Trump administration has slapped financial sanctions on Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro. The sanctions follow a weekend election that gave the South American country's ruling party virtually unlimited powers. The provisions freeze any assets Maduro may have in the U.S. and bars Americans from doing business with him. They were outlined in a brief notice by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control. Also this morning, story, a utility has resumed limited operations at the West's largest gas storage facility. that was crippled for 21 months by the nation's biggest methane blowout. The announcement yesterday came just after the courts rejected attempts to block the restart of the Southern California Gas Company's Aliso Canyon facility in Los Angeles. Big day for earnings today. We'll be watching a couple of them. Apple comes in after the bell today. BP, Sprint, Uber, Under Armour, and Xerox all reporting earnings. Well, if you're like me, you picked up your paycheck recently and saw some income tax taken out of there. The new state income tax in Illinois is officially on your paychecks. And depending on how much you make, it could be a little painful. We thought we'd talk a little bit about that and some accounting this morning with Martin Votoylevich, who is the founder of CPA Advisors Group. Martin, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning.
Votoylevich. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's correct, sir.
With a name like Grzanich, I have to try to get these all right. But we're happy to have you this morning. Martin, you probably saw this, too, in your paycheck, income tax in Illinois. Are you hearing a lot from your clients negatively or positively about this?
Of course, negatively. A lot of clients call us and say, what happened to my paycheck? Why is it less? Why is it 20, 40, 30 bucks less? One word of advice to one of our clients, to all of our clients, everybody, please review your paycheck. Make sure your employer is taking that $495. You know, if they don't, at the end of the year, it might be up for the surprise.
Yeah, is that a possibility that that something there may be an accounting error on those paychecks because
you know what? Yes, most of the companies do their payroll using the big companies. But there are a few out there who calculate them themselves, and they might make a mistake. They might not calculate it correctly. So verify it.
Yeah. That would be painful at the end of the year, I'm sure. Martin, talk to us a little bit about why it's important and good to have an accountant for the work. Obviously, you just saved us potentially thousands of dollars with that check, but why is it important to have an accountant?
You know what? We have seen a trend developing lately. A lot of people becoming independent contractors. They work on their own, and they don't understand what is the process, how to pay taxes, how to organize the records. We see this trend developing in a trucking company, in a construction companies. So we can help anybody organize the records. Anybody who's working on a W-2, who has a house, has a mortgage on a house, pays real estate taxes. What can you deduct? What you cannot deduct? How you can do it? We can help you organize this. We can help you educate you on upcoming laws, tax laws.
Yeah, everybody talks about the gig economy. I was recently in that, too. And it is one of those situations where if you're not really paying attention and not a good bookkeeper yourself, it could cost you a lot of money with tax penalties and things that you may not even know about.
And we have numerous clients who fall into a trap of either not paying enough taxes or not doing the right bookkeeping, not keeping the records right, or doing things by themselves, making mistakes and costly mistakes. We actually have a client who has filed their taxes for 2 years, made a mistake, obvious mistake. I would have told them already not to do it. And they owe back taxes. They owe quite a bit, actually. This is over $30,000 that they owe. Now we have to help them with their back taxes, help them deal with IRS, qualify them into a program so they can deal with IRS and then move on with their current taxes. So don't try to do it yourself. You can fall into a trap of making a mistake.
And one of those things, you know, I think that would probably be good about having a CPA is that you guide clients through all of that. I mean, I would think my immediate thing would be, okay, I better hire an attorney if I didn't have a CPA. But you guys are qualified to do all of that, aren't you?
Yes, we actually have attorney on staff who helps people deal with IRS. So if somebody has a problem with IRS, and I would actually tell everybody, if you have a problem right now, maybe this is the time now to take care of it. Why? There's a lot of chatter coming from the government, from the Congress, about changing the tax law, total overhaul of the tax law. If it happens, maybe some of the programs that are available right now to you might not be available. So I would encourage anybody who owes any back taxes, hasn't filed their taxes for a while, to do something right now and come to our firm and we'll help you. We'll file your taxes and we'll help you take care of the unpaid taxes as well.
Martin, hang on with us. We'll continue our conversation here. We'll talk about that and some other topics as well. Martin Wojtulewicz is with us this morning. He's the founder of CPA Advisors Group, and we'll continue our conversation on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Major U.S. benchmarks had a mixed finish yesterday. The Standard & Poor's 500 fell about 2 points. The NASDAQ composite was off 26.5 at the close, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 61 points to a new record high, 21,891. Watch out, Uber. Lyft has carried more passengers this year than it did in all of 2016. Missteps by its much larger rival have helped Lyft to make significant gains in ridership, but it's still far behind Uber. A 3-month decline in home sales ended in June with more Americans signing on the dotted line. Prices are climbing faster than wages, and the number of homes listed for sale has plunged in recent months. And a Dallas wedding photographer has been awarded $1 million in a defamation suit. Neely and Andrew Moldovan had hired Andrea Polito to shoot pictures of their wedding. After a delay in getting their photos, the Moldovans launched a social media campaign, which Polito says destroyed her business. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 522. We're talking about the recent state income tax increase, and we have a CPA on with us this morning, Martin Wojtulewicz, the founder at CPA Advisors Group, serving the Chicagoland area, based in Algonquin. Martin, does the income tax hike increase in Illinois affect wealthy people more than it does, say, just regular middle-class people?
I'd say it affects everybody. The more you make, the more you pay. But it affects, it usually hits the middle class more than the somebody who makes more money. But it will affect everybody, all of us. Here's why we talked about why having a CPA is a good idea, or having somebody prepare your taxes who knows what they're doing. I just recently had a client who was on extension, and we put his taxes together, and he owes over $5,000. He just made some missteps. He didn't pay enough. But we were able to put him into a retirement program that he could put money into, and we save him over $2,500. So actually his bill, tax bill, was $2,500 instead of $5,000. Had he done it himself, he probably would have paid that $5,000. That's the advantage of having a CPA. We also had a client who walked into our office, and with a notice from IRS, owing over $70,000. We reviewed his notice, and we found out this was due to his house being sold, his main house that he lived in, being sold in a short sale. Those situations are not taxable if you filed it right, if you know what form to file. So we were able to help that client as well. So that's how we can help somebody, and we can explain what is the effect of this increase of the state tax. How will that affect you? What you can do to react to it, you know? The good thing about this increase, if you're itemizing your taxes, you can actually deduct more on your Schedule A. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's the one bright spot. In addition to keeping an eye on our paychecks, is there anything we should be doing with the W-4 following the income tax hike? And how would this maybe change some of our savings options with 401ks and IRAs?
Yeah, in most cases, when you have a retirement plan, that retirement plan, and it's sponsored by the company, if you work for the company, in most cases, they also lower your state taxes as well. So maybe look at that retirement plan, the 401k, and see if you can increase, maybe take a percentage up, one or two. The money will stay with you. Don't go with this to the state. So you can save some of the percentage there. I think that might be a good strategy right now for somebody who's working for somebody. If you're on your own, take a look at this. Are you withholding enough? Are you paying enough? When you're on your own, when you're an independent contractor, when you're on your own, you have to make estimated payments yourself. So take a good look, too. What will that affect me? How will that affect me? Because business taxes have also increased to 7% now. So I encourage anybody to just see the accountant to go over the scenarios. That's what we do with our clients. They call us all the time and say, this is what's happening to me this year. I'm selling a house that I inherited, or I have a stock that I inherited. Now is the time to sell. Is it or not? So we'll do a scenario for them. We say, hey, this is how it will affect you and your taxes. We actually had a guy who called me yesterday and said, hey, my mother has passed away. Now I'm ready to eliminate my stock. hey, it's going to be about $20,000 extra income. What will it do to my taxes? Now, what will I do to my state taxes? Well, we can do the calculations. We can help you. We can guide you.
Is there anything we should be aware of in terms of the income part of this? I know that the state was talking about having this at $250,000, where above and below, that was sort of the line. Is it something that we could control whether, and I know we all like to make money, but control whether or not we go over that line through the rest of the year?
What we can do, we advise our clients to defer their income. So if they, at the end of the year, if they see they're approaching the $250,000 dreaded, income, they can defer it to the next year. So they can stop the billing and bill it in January instead of in December. This is perfectly legal strategy. You can do that. You can also accelerate your payments, your expenses. So if you have to pay something in January, you can pay it in December of this year to lower your bottom line. So you're under that $250,000 threshold.
All kinds of good strategies. Martin, I have to ask you this, and I know what the answer is going to be, but based on your experience, do you think that when we see an income tax hike like this, that it will remain permanent, that there's no chance of it ever rolling back, or do you have hope in that area?
We all know the state of the state, right?
Right.
So we're hoping that it's going to go down, but I think it's there to stay. So we need to react accordingly to it. Absolutely. One word of advice, because I see it all the time happening in my office. Whenever you receive the notice from an IRS or state government, don't leave it unopened. Please open it. Please read it. I've seen many clients falling into a trap. Oh, my God, I don't want to open it. I don't want to see what's there. And it becomes worse and worse and worse. And then it's very complex and very difficult. We still help people out, but it's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
Another word of advice, too. Never represent yourself in case of a problem. Try to hire someone who can help you, who knows what they're doing. Same goes for taxes, preparing taxes, absolutely.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Martin, I don't do that with the only thing I get about taxes in the mail these days seems to be property taxes, and I leave it unopened on the counter as long as I possibly can. So I understand that.
But you should look at that, too, because what if there's a mistake? What if something was not assessed correctly? What if you're missing? That's what we do for our clients, too. We tell them to bring their tax bill to us. Because on the tax bill, we can see, for example, if you are getting all the breaks that you should get. If you live in a house, you should get a homestead exemption. Some people don't know about it and don't do it. Mm-hmm. If you're over 65, you qualify for the senior freeze, for some senior discounts. We verify that for you. We look at that and say, this is what you qualify for. And better yet, we file the right forms with the counties so you can get those exemptions. So that's a good idea to actually open that real estate tax and see if you have all the exemptions, that all the exemptions have been applied, so you pay only what you're supposed to pay with the high taxes that we have already,
Martin, I have no doubt that you've saved some of our listeners a little bit of money this morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right. Martin Avojtilevich is the founder of CPA Advisors Group with us this morning, based in Algonquin. You can find him online at cpaadvisorsgroup.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here with us on our Tuesday edition of the program. A new study on the gender gap in the VC world has some concerning results and shows that there's still a lot of sexism on deck. We thought we'd talk about this morning with Claire O'Connor. She's a staff writer at Forbes who's been writing about this. Claire, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a concerning story because this is not the first study that's been done on this. It's a new snapshot of this, and it shows what?
Well, so this is a study by the chair of entrepreneurship at Babson College. She and her team took all the data available on the startup world since 1999, and found that if a team is all male at a startup, it's four times more likely to be funded by venture capitalists than if there's even one woman on the founding team. So having one woman as a startup co-founder means your company is four times less likely to be funded by venture capitalists, which is just, it just sort of gives credence to what I think a lot of women in Silicon Valley sort of feel, that you know, men are likely to fund men. Venture capitalists overwhelmingly male and white male, actually. And a lot of times women have complained to me that it just feels like men funding people who look like them. And this data just sort of gives validity to that feeling.
Yeah, and it's concerning. I mean, could you make all kinds of extrapolations from this? But did the study give any suggestion of what the motivations? I mean, it seems obvious, but what the motivations are behind these decisions?
If only. No, this is just a look at the numbers themselves. And honestly, the data also shows that the valuations of startups are actually higher if there is a woman on the founding team. So this is venture capital shooting itself in the foot, as well as just being openly sexist.
Yeah, let's go back to that, by the way, so make sure people heard that. Valuations for females, with females on the board, are higher, which means that
if there is at least one woman on the founding team, valuations tend to be higher. And not just that, there's a VC firm called First Round Capital with a portfolio of 500 startups, and they crunched some numbers themselves 2 years ago and found that female-founded companies performed 63% better. So women are out here hustling harder. Their companies are doing better, but they're unable to secure funding. That's the whole picture.
Yeah, and if you're on one of those VC boards and your whole idea is to have investments and earn from those investments, you said it really well. This is like shooting yourself in the foot because of that. That's money out the window. Is there any sense here of, you mentioned too that a lot of these VC firms are male-owned or male-operated. Is there any push or any effort to help fix any of these inequities at all?
Well, I think especially following a few scandals in recent weeks involving sexual harassment in the venture capital world, I really hope that these things are the tipping point. A lot of very brave women coming forward on the record saying that some venture capitalists were sexually harassing and in some cases even assaulting them has really caused Silicon Valley to wake up. I think really what has to happen for this to change is for limited partners or LPs, that is the people who are investing in VC firms, to say, you know, actually, I want my money to go towards more diverse startup founders. And, you know, a lot of these limited partners are women and are from diverse backgrounds. So I think it has to be pressure from, you know, the folks really holding the purse here.
And the other part of this question, too, is if it's you mentioned that those limited partners may have a say in this, because generally this is sort of an unregulated world, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say unregulated, but, well, to a degree, yes, but there often aren't, these aren't publicly traded companies.
Right, that's what I meant.
It is a relatively new industry when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. This data exists since 1999, because 1999 was the first dot-com boom time. I have to be hopeful. This is the area that I cover. And there are some glimmers. There are some all-women VC firms that have cropped up over the last sort of 5 years or so that are investing in companies not just run by women, but that are kind of looking at companies in e-commerce, in beauty, in fashion, in kind of more traditionally women-run spheres, and thinking, actually, there's money in this too. It doesn't all have to be these very kind of male-led sectors. It remains to be seen whether, you know, Silicon Valley is really going to wake up as a whole, but I think there are some bright spots.
One has to wonder, too, if this is sort of having a silencing effect, too. Do you find in your reporting that if you have a startup that's going out looking for money, that they might try to hide the fact that they may have a woman founder, given this data?
Well, you know, it's worse than that. Not even hiding that they have a woman founder, but I've definitely heard from women who have actively had to sort of go and scare up a man, have had to find a male co-founder just to sort of know that they can walk into one of these VC firms on Sand Hill Road out there in Silicon Valley and even have a chance. There are women founders who, you know, have started companies on their own, but then have had to, you know, go and corral a male co-founder just to think that they have a chance of raising some cash.
Are there some of these VC firms that are doing it worse than they are doing it better? I hate to name names here, but maybe that's the only way to sort of call them out on the carpet. Do you find that there are offenders, worse offenders here than others?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these really big ones are as bad as each other. There are some that are making a real effort. This company that I mentioned, First Round Capital, that crunched the numbers of their own portfolio and found that their women-led firms perform 63% better, also found that of their 10 top performers of the past decade, three were solely women-founded, so no male co-founders at all. And I think that prompted them to go look for more. And they also, in that time, hired their first female partner. So, you know, there are some that are looking at, you know, this is not about doing the right thing. It's about making money. You know, it also happens to be doing the right thing. But this is hard data. If companies want to make a return on their investments, then this is what they should be doing.
And you bring up a good point from earlier, where you said that most of these firms are male, but all white generally. It begs the question, too, how are minorities faring in this area?
Oh, it's so much worse. I mean, being a woman is one thing, but being a woman of color or an LGBT woman makes your chances so much worse. Actually, there was a study last year called Project Diane out of an incubator called Digital Undivided, run by a black woman investor called Catherine Finney, who found that black women entrepreneurs have only received 0.2% of venture capital funding over the last 6 years, 0.2%. And she found that only 11 black women had ever raised over $1 million, and that the average black woman raised something like $35,000 for her startup, whereas the average white man with a failed startup raised $1.3 million. So you have white men out here with companies that are failing, raising far more than black women with thriving companies. And black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the country. So really, they're the ones that VCs should be looking to invest in.
Claire, good reporting, and we'll stay tuned to see if things change. We appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Claire O'Connor is a staff writer at Forbes. You can read her stuff at Forbes.com. We're also going to link out to her most recent story on this, and venture capitalists, venture firms, and the gender gap.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we are seeing really strong numbers in the futures, pointing toward a strong opening on Wall Street later. The Dow futures up 103 points. NASDAQ futures now up 24. S&P futures are up 6. Gold and silver are both trading lower this morning. More on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. We begin with a look at yesterday's weekly crop condition report that showed a 1% drop in the good to excellent category for the nation's corn crop, down to 61% good to excellent. Soybeans, on the other hand, went up 2 percentage points, 59% good to excellent. Looking at some of the state breakdowns, first of all, on soybeans in the Midwest, Illinois 66% good to excellent, Indiana only 51%, Iowa 60%. But to find better condition crops, Minnesota 73% good to excellent in soybeans, and Wisconsin 74%. In the corn crop category, in the Midwest, 63% in Illinois, good to excellent, 49% in Indiana, 65% in Iowa. But go north to Minnesota, 81% of the corn crop rated good to excellent. There is a new pork processing plant underway in Coldwater, Michigan. Officials say the $250 million hog processing facility in southern Michigan will handle hogs from states including Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Iowa. Hatfield, Pennsylvania-based Clemens Food Group held a ribbon-cutting ceremony Saturday at the plant in Coldwater that eventually will employ 830 people. That's your money. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. Wisconsin conservationists are warning that Governor Scott Walker's plan to exempt a massive Foxconn electronics plant from key environmental regulations would leave the public in the dark about the plant's impact, jeopardize wetlands, and set an alarming precedent. President Trump and Walker from Wisconsin announced last week that the state had won the high-stakes battle for the $10 billion plant. Plans call for building a 20 million square foot plant on about 1.5 square miles of acreage somewhere in southeast Wisconsin, probably in Kenosha County, but likely somewhere in Racine or Kenosha counties. Spurred by Foxconn's promise to create as many as 13,000 jobs, Walker's office released a bill Friday that would hand the company $3 billion worth of incentives. The bill includes provisions that would lift the requirements that state agencies prepare environmental impact statements on plant construction and operations. Alaska Airlines says it is taking precautions, including requiring employees to change their passwords after Virgin America's computer systems were hacked. An Alaska Airlines spokesperson says that the company noticed unusual activity in Virgin systems back in March and notified law enforcement, also hired security, cybersecurity experts. She says customer information wasn't affected, but employees and contractors will be required to change passwords every 90 days going forward. About 3,100 employees may have had their login information stolen, and the airline also says another 110 also had personal information compromised, including some of their personal identifiers like Social Security numbers. Environmental advocates are urging the Trump administration to reverse course on its move to set aside an Obama-era measure limiting water pollution from coal-fired plants. About 50 people spoke during a public hearing at the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington yesterday. Nearly all voiced their strong opposition to EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt's decision to delay implementation of 2015 restrictions on the levels of such toxic heavy metals as lead, arsenic, mercury, selenium, and that all can be released into rivers and lakes. Pruitt was acting at the behest of electric utilities who petitioned him to redraft the rule, which they claim is too costly and burdensome. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Tuesday, August 1st. The Commerce Department releases personal income and spending for June. The Institute for Supply Management releases its manufacturing index for July. Commerce Department also releases construction spending for June. Automakers release vehicle sales for July. A couple of big earnings reports today include Apple after the bell, Pfizer Incorporated, Under Armour, Sprint, BP, and Xerox. In London, oil giant BP reporting second quarter earnings. Official figures from Brussels today set to show the economic recovery of the 19 countries that use the euro currency gained momentum during the second quarter of the year. Things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, August 1st, 2017.